I'm King John on media, actually WGN King John on all social media, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. WGN King John if you follow me there. And at Amy Guth is the Twitter handle for Amy Guth. I think that's what it is, right? That's not abbreviated?
Just me.
Welcome, Amy. How are you? Thanks for coming in. You and I exchanged two comments on Twitter in the last 24 hours or so. You tweeted, dude with basically my same curly hair, looking at my hair, quote, damn girl, our babies would look fly as hell. Somebody randomly said that to you.
Yeah, I was at the bus stop and a guy walked by and said that.
You've got curly hair. This guy's got curly hair. He said, damn girl, our babies would look fly as hell. And then he keeps walking on.
Yeah.
I tweeted back to you, see, this is what I mean. Does this stuff really happen? Another conversation you and I will have on and off the air someday is I am always amazed at your Twitter feed and some of the things that you observe and happen to you. And I've teased you on and off the air about whether or not some of these happen, which is not to say that I doubt the veracity of them. I believe them. It's just remarkable to me that they do. And that came across ham-handed, and I think some people misunderstood it. In fact, 563 people misunderstood exactly what I meant, and I think one of them was you. So apologies if in Twitter.
So what did you mean?
So, thank you. Well, there's the only thing I meant, thank you, Violetta, was that I am amazed at the stuff that happens out on the street, and you are a great chronicler of it, and it's sometimes your observations, it's things people say to you. And so when I said, does this stuff really happen, my point was, here we go again, crazy stuff is happening around Amy Guth. It didn't come across that way on Twitter.
And you should see the things that I don't tweet. There's so many that are just so disgusting and humiliating that I don't even tweet them.
And sometimes it's stuff like this, and sometimes it's stuff that isn't about your gender or anything else. So that was where my head was, and clearly it was up my butt. But in this case, specifically, you were talking about how you have to put up with crap like this. And that is what a lot of the thread underneath our exchange is about.
Yeah, a lot of people did weigh in on that because, you know, at its core, we sometimes in the debate around street harassment, it gets down to, I was just kidding, or I was trying to give her a compliment, or, hey, why is she getting all bent out of shape? This Me Too thing is ruining compliments and interactions. But in fact, it's really about your autonomy as a human being and your ability to walk from point A to point B harassed, you know, without issue.
In the streets of Chicago. Where did this happen specifically?
A bus stop right by my home.
Yeah.
But around the world, this is something that is disproportionately affecting half the population. And it doesn't always end with just, a comment. Oftentimes, defending yourself can get you attacked, can get you physically assaulted. There's a lot of data around stop.
What do you mean by defending yourself? Saying something back to that person?
Saying something back to them, I've said something I can't say on the air, but some variation of shut up and you know, had a guy lunge at me before, and a lot of women share that experience. And so it's very important when we're talking about street harassment, it's really, really important to, not only believe women, but it's also really important to be a good ally in settings where things are happening. Because, you know, there was a lot of tweets as people were sharing today that were, there were some men talking about, you know, I walked away for 10 minutes and I came back and some creep is like all over my wife. And we saw so many of those. And so it's really not even about Twitter. It's not even about the interaction that we had. It's really this, you know, it's a symptom of this much larger cultural thing that is really this glimpse into the way women are treated very often. And that's really why I chronicle that kind of stuff.
Randomly and in public with people they don't know.
Right.
There was a phenomenon a couple of years ago where people were starting to make videos of what happens. Literally, here's what happened to me on the way to and from work. And one woman I remember actually posted the audio recording of what guys would say to her. I think that's how she did it. I don't remember if it was video or not, but it's amazing the sorts of things guys would say or do. A whistle, a catcall, but sometimes stuff that's much more inventive than that, like what you posted.
Right. And, you know, a lot of times, not only, doing that can, like I said, get you into a little bit of trouble or get someone to fight.
Responding to it.
Right. There's a lot of responsibility on the bystander because, you know, especially when we veer into the territory of the upskirt photo, which is a very common phenomenon where someone will take a picture of someone's skirt or their rear end or something like that. That's a very common thing that happens in street harassment. But often, there are lots of witnesses. That's personally happened to me. I saw someone trying to do that to me. And I turned around and a bunch of men, not with this guy, were laughing. They weren't being allies. They weren't saying, hey, that's not appropriate. They were just kind of looking on. And I know so many other women with that same experience. So I think that's a really important thing to do.
A lot of guys
too.
Wouldn't do that, but they also don't step up and say anything about it when they see it happen.
Right. There's a lot of, well, I'm just going to mind my own business. I don't know that guy. I don't want to get involved because it could escalate, because it could turn violent. And that's really the reality of what, you know, women are dealing with. And not just women. I mean, this disproportionately affects women. Of a survey a couple years ago with StopStreetHarassment.org, about 65% of women surveyed reported that they had some kind of street harassment. About 23% of it had a physical component, and about 9% of it, and that number has changed year over year. But about roughly 9 or 10% of it had escalated into, you know,
really?
Into like a forced sex act or something like that. This does happen to men, not as often, but it does happen to men. About 25% of men surveyed revealed that they had experienced some kind of street harassment. It tends to affect men in the LGBTQ community more than hetero.
Your colleague and mine, Patty Vasquez, just called in. Hi, Patty. You're on. How are you?
Oh, John. Sometimes you really make me yell at my radio.
Hey, Patty.
Are you anywhere near a telephone, Patty? We can hardly hear you.
Oh, no, I'm not available.
There you are.
I apologize. Can you hear me okay?
Unfortunately, yes.
I, so many things, John. I'm so glad I didn't see that. Otherwise, I wouldn't have even waited to call in right now. But I think Amy even said something right there where she says when something has happened to her on the street and other men are laughing, you essentially are doing the same thing by teasing her when she brings it up. And I don't tweet about it. I don't write about every chronicle, and I appreciate that Amy does. So she's like a witness for all of us, because it does happen all the time. It is that nasty and horrifying. And to have her peer and colleagues teasing her about it, John, what? Right.
He didn't mean it.
No, but I mean, that's the truth. I mean, I didn't mean what you are hearing me say.
Really?
I think you meant it wasn't.
Yeah, well, seriously, my point was, and this is, you and I talked about this off the air. I don't want to have this conversation on the air because this is not what I intended it to be. It came across that way, that I didn't buy it, that I didn't believe it. I do. My point was, I think it's remarkable how much of this crap you have to put up with. That was the point. But it didn't come across that way, and that's not how you were hearing it either, were you, Patty?
No, it's not the way I'm hearing it. I'm guessing there are a lot of women who aren't hearing that way.
Oh, you got that right, girlfriend.
Love you, John. Because as Amy said, you know, like even when someone just says hi to us on the street, we don't know how to respond, because if we don't say hi back, we're a bitch. And if we do, we're inviting them. And every single time someone does it.
What do you say to that?
I think that's absolutely accurate. You know, I think there's the experience of walking around as a woman. You know, I do martial arts, and twice I've had to use it on Michigan Avenue. Two times in my life, and both times are right here within, like, I could hit the tower with a golf ball. I was so close, right? But both times, you walk around with a certain amount of planning in a sense, you know, because any dude you walk by could grab you, could drag you into an alley, and you don't want to walk around with a lot of fear, but that's present, that's there. And, you know, both times I kind of felt something in my gut, and this guy tried to take my purse one of those times. The other time he tried to pull me into an alley, and both times I just had to strike for my own safety. So that kind of thing is always present. And again, that's, my story is not unique, nor is it the worst. There's so many much worse than I, you know, I'm saying.
So then what do you think when you go out onto the street later today? I mean, how present is this thing in your mind?
I think it's quite present for a lot of women, even very subconsciously. I think we always have to think about safety in a way that men do not. You know, not too long ago, someone asked me, if you could be male for 24 hours, what would you do? And I said, I would walk around at night without a care in the world. I have no idea what that would feel like. I really don't have that sense, which is, again, not to say I'm walking around fearful, but I think for so many of us, we just have to be aware. And then language supports our fear, because after the example I said of someone trying to take my purse, immediately was, why were you out so late?
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the time my employment ends, and I was walking to my home.
Do you think it's getting worse or better, or do you have a personal gauge on that?
I think it kind of ebbs and flows. I mean, right now, I think we're talking about it in a different way.
That's kind of why I brought up that video from a couple of years ago, because I thought, for whatever reason, that conversation tipped not that long ago. Patty, are you still there, by the way? I can hear your phone in the background.
I am.
I appreciate you joining us, but I'm going to let you go, okay?
You. Of course.
You bet.
Of course. But, bye.
Thanks, Patty. I'm surprised she's awake.
Well, her hours are about to change, so she'll have normal sleep schedule.
Right.
On the 18th, Patty and Andrea Darla is going to be on from 7 to 11 in Justin's slot. But I wondered if when that conversation sort of peaked or at least tipped a couple of years ago, if that would have had some sort of noticeable impact on the street for men and women.
I don't know. I mean, it's the same thing that's been going on forever. It's just in a new medium, right? It's been happening. I mean, we often
new medium, meaning?
Well, we do this on Twitter now. We do this on the street. There's so many other ways to do this, to silence women, to scare them. We see it so often, especially when men gang up on women on social media, like large groups. It's not that different than what happened when we saw in the, like, witch trial times, right? We saw, at the end of the day, women are getting silenced, and women are saying, you know what, I'm going to opt out of the public conversation because the stakes are too high, and it's too dangerous for me to be there, and the odds are too high. And the problem with that is that the people telling, people controlling the public conversation are the people that are writing history. And so if you're not participating, you're not, someone else is speaking on your behalf. And so what we're really talking about is like the reality of an inequality. Because if you're walking around with any degree of fear or a sense of there are so many ramifications for what I might do next, including saying, hey, person at the bus stop, shut up. Don't speak to me that way. Have some respect. You immediately risk being injured, marginalized. But you walk around with a sense of otherness that I think is dangerous for equality.
We're almost out of time. I wonder if it's more problematic on the street or on the internet, on social media or on the Michigan Avenue.
I think geographic region has a lot to do with it. If you live in an area that's more of a driving culture, you probably see less of it than here.
No, but you know what I mean? Like you were saying how I just wonder, like you talk about how people gang up on women on the internet. If you do something on Twitter or on social media that is somehow judged badly, then you're going to get it, and a lot of people will pile on. Maybe the internet is almost worse, or social media is almost worse than it is on the street.
Certainly, because it's the good news is a lot of people are bearing witness to things, right? So when a brand, for example, makes a misstep, suddenly a lot of people are going, hey, that's not cool, that's not appropriate. I'm thinking of, I think it was DiGiorno's made a joke during the Ray Rice Baltimore Orioles, when all of that was unfolding, there was a "why I left" hashtag that was trending, and women were giving testament to why they left or why they stayed in domestic violence situations, and that brand said because the pizza was ready or something like that. And immediately people were bearing witness to a misstep and saying that's not appropriate. But on the flip side of that, it's very easy to orchestrate kind of an ass whooping.
By the way, you are normally on Saturdays.
Correct.
That's when you and I bump into each other. When are you next on the radio?
Well, I'm off this weekend, and then I got to look at the White Sox schedule because that kind of dictates my life.
Thanks for coming in. Nice to see you.
Thanks so much, John.
You can follow her on Twitter, by the way, at Amy Guth, G-U-T-H.